Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Thanks for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It is October 25th, 2017, and I'm John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe to it. Your options include iTunes and Spotify, and please give the show a good review. And while you're giving the show a review, leave your Twitter handle to be entered into a contest to win a pre-Pro Football Focus subscription. The Jets are heading into a Week 8 game against the Atlanta Falcons. Now, usually we do our mailbag shows on Thursday, but our schedule is a little different this week, so we're going to go ahead and do the mailbag show on Wednesday. So let's jump right in. These are questions from the comment section of GangreneNation.com. Thanks once again for everybody who sent your questions. We're going to get to as many of them as we can. Not sure whether we'll be able to get to all of them, but we'll do our best. Let's jump in. First question. I've seen enough of McCown. Isn't it time to start Bryce Petty? Well, I'll tell you this. If you are hoping the Jets will start Bryce Petty, I think you're probably going to be very disappointed. I think that the Jets made a decision in the offseason. I don't think the Jets would have brought in Josh McCown unless they had made an organizational decision that they don't think Bryce Petty can play in this league. And I think it could be a situation where at some point they have to play Petty, and maybe Petty proves them wrong, but I think Petty is at a point where he has to prove the Jets wrong for them to believe in him. And it's going to take something that happens that just requires them to put him in the lineup. I don't think they're going to do it by choice. I think that heading into this season, the Jets felt like Christian Hackenberg was their young quarterback they were hoping would come in and have success. And they needed an alternative to compete with him in training camp in the preseason. And if you felt Petty could play, Petty would be the alternative. I don't think they felt Petty could play, so they signed McCown. I mean, you don't give Josh McCown $6 million if you feel good about your quarterback situation. Now, should Petty play? Is it time to start Petty? I've said many times, I don't see what having McCown on this team accomplishes. I think McCown's a guy who'd be better served being a coach, and I think McCown has a chance to be a very good coach in this league. But as a player, I just don't see it. I don't see it. And I actually think he played pretty well on Sunday. I thought he had a solid game against Miami. I think there are two different issues on Sunday. The one issue is how he played within the game. And I thought, overall, if you take the good and the bad, mostly good. But there's a second thing is, in the fourth quarter, he showed you an ongoing tendency that he just does not understand game situation, which is really just unacceptable for a 38-year-old quarterback who's been in this league since 2002. When you pay $6 million, you should expect competence. You should expect a guy who understands game situations, who understands what he can't do, who just, if nothing else, do no harm, avoid the big mistake, and McCown has shown an inability to do that. I don't understand. My biggest issue with this signing is, what's the upside? What's the best case scenario? Is McCown good enough to take you to the playoffs? I don't think so. I don't think that that's really a possibility. I don't think it's a realistic possibility that McCown takes you to the playoffs. It's one thing if you think a guy can take you to the playoffs, but he can't. So what's the upside here? And this would be different even if McCown was 5 years younger. Because then at least you could look at this and say, all right, well, even if this guy's not good enough to be my starter, he could be a backup for me for the next 3 years. You don't have that. So it's just, I don't see what you're accomplishing. But I think if you're hoping that Petty gets into the lineup anytime soon, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the only two things that get Petty into the lineup are either an injury or the team falling out of contention. I don't think we're near that situation right now. I think at 3-4, even though honestly, if Petty had played, I think this team's probably 3-4. I don't think McCown's really won you any games. I think he's played two good games out of seven. They're the two Miami games. And even the first Miami game, I don't think they won it because of McCown. I think they won it because of the defense. The Jacksonville game, I think they won because of the running backs. And the Cleveland game, I think they won because of DeShone Kizer. I mean, I think if you put Petty in, the record's the exact same. But that's not the way the Jets are going to view it right now. The Jets are going to view it that they have the veteran quarterback and they're around 500 and they're beating expectations record-wise. Next question. Do you think the Jets need a center or a right tackle more this offseason? I think center, clearly. I think I would say and I feel strongly about that. I think center by a lot. I think right tackle, Brandon Schell's actually showing you some signs that he could be an answer there. And if we're talking left tackle, and I know your question was right tackle, but I think if you're going left tackle, Kelvin Beachum's done a pretty solid job. Jets kind of took a flyer on Beachum, and it looks like it's paying off. It looks like Beachum may actually provide you a pretty decent value for his contract. It's one of the real value, and Jets have not had a lot of good value contracts in free agency this decade, but Beachum actually might be a guy who turns out to be that way. And I think if there's a situation when you're drafting in 2018 and there's a really stellar left tackle prospect and it just so happens that he falls on the board and the board falls so that he's the best guy available to you, I don't think Beachum should preclude you from drafting that guy. But I don't think you're in a situation, you may not enter into a situation if Beachum continues his current level of play where you're desperate for left tackle. And left tackle is one of those positions where you have to have, because left tackle, not having a quality left tackle can just destroy your team. So I think Beachum's done a good job stabilizing it. And on the right side, I mean, I think Schell's durability is maybe something you start considering, something you start, I don't want to go crazy because the guy's a little banged up here or there, over a couple of weeks. You know, this is his first season starting, so I think you have to go a little deeper until you say this guy is injury prone. But I think it is something that's starting to concern me a little bit with Schell. This is a second injury. We're not even halfway through the season, so something to keep an eye on than something else I'm saying I'm worried about. But I think center's a bigger issue. I think Wesley Johnson, just, you know, as much as I've said Beachum has proven to be a good signing, the Wesley Johnson signing has proven to be a failure. I mean, it's incredible when you watch the number of failed run plays or even pressures, how many you can ultimately trace back to Wesley Johnson not doing his job and situations. I mean, how many times the Jets have been in the wrong protection in the key spot this year on passing down, and center's got to take a lot of the blame for that, because usually the center is part of the process to get the team into the right blocking scheme. So I think Wesley Johnson has just shown he's not up to the task, and I never really understood why they really just kind of handed the job to Wesley Johnson. There was some token competition, but I just don't understand why they were so confident in Johnson, why they gave him. I mean, Wesley Johnson's making around average starter money this year at center. This is not a cheap deal for a center he's on, and I just don't really see why, because he played a lot last year, and he really was quite shaky. So I don't, you know, and I think I don't know what they saw in him. And I think, you know, it's a situation where we talked about this during the offseason, the Jets felt like they could coach guys up on the offensive line, and they have a quality position coach on the offensive line, and they have actually done, you know, we've talked about some of the success stories. They've done a pretty good job at the tackles. Beachum's return started looking like he's returning to form. Schell, I think, has been an early success story. He looks like a guy who potentially could be a starter for this team. I think center is a weak spot, though, and it's, you know, we talk a lot about positions that are needs for the Jets. A lot of the good centers in this league go early. You know, there are lots of first round center picks. I'm not saying that you pick center, but I'm saying that center is one of those spots where the Jets are going to have to look early if value matches need. Next question, Buster Screen. Do you see any situation where he ends up on the bench? Also, who would you replace him with if given the chance, and why? I don't think Screen's going to the bench, I think, in fairness to Screen, he did play two really solid games before the Miami game. Screen's another guy, and there are lots of guys on this team where they're kind of middle-aged in terms of the NFL. Now, they're young in terms of regular life. You know, Screen, no, I don't think anybody would say Screen's an old guy, but in terms of their NFL careers, they're kind of middle-aged, and they're not that good, and it's kind of no man's land for a team like the Jets because there's not really a lot of upside there. I mean, once you get to the point of your career where Screen is, you're probably not going to get better. You probably are who you are in this league, and that's not that good, but you're also not really helping the team right now, and you're expensive. So, I would not have brought Screen into this season based on what the other moves the Jets made in the offseason. I think Screen's the type of guy who maybe he could help a team in this league if he's on a very cheap deal and he provides you a certain floor for your slot corner if you're trying to win in this league. And guys like that can help you out then. For a team like the Jets, it's really focused more on the future. It's another guy. I don't really see what he brings to the table for this team. He's expensive. He's not that good, and he doesn't have upside. And I know Burris has struggled when he's been in there, but I think it's a fair point people bring up is, you know, Burris goes out there, gets benched really quick. They have a very quick hook with Burris, fourth round pick from a year ago, Justin Burris. Screen goes out there, and you could almost argue loses the game for this team, and nothing's going to change. And I understand Screen's been a guy who's had a good October overall, but I just think that what you saw against Miami is much more emblematic of the player Buster Screen is than what you saw against Cleveland or New England. I think that he's just not a guy who really helps the team. But again, it's kind of like the first question. I would make a move, but I don't think the Jets are going to make a move. I think the Jets like what he brings to the table. I think it would take a lot more to get him benched because for whatever reason, they think he's an asset to this team. Next question, Wilkerson. Do you think Wilkerson's play last week showed enough that some teams might be willing to trade for him if the Jets are ate at least part of his salary? And if so, do you think that such a trade would be in the best interest of the Jets, assuming the Jets ate at least 50% of Wilkerson's remaining salary for the year? Well, if they ate the salary, you have to remember how much cap space the Jets are sitting on right now, so I don't think eating the salary would be a big deal. I'll tell you this much. I think every player over 27 on this roster, if I got offered anything, I'd probably take it. Except James Carpenter would be a guy. I'd have to get something good for James Carpenter. But the rest of these guys, I just don't see them being on this team. I don't think they're good enough to stick on this team long term. So I think Wilkerson would be, if you could get anything out of Wilkerson, you're a miracle. Mike McCagnan's a miracle worker. Anything for Wilkerson in a trade. I don't think Wilkerson's going to be traded. I just don't think it's possible. I think even if he eat half the deal, the contract just makes it too tough. I'll tell you, you never say never, but I think it's a very difficult deal to pull off. And I mean, the other teams, they've seen the film from the last year and a half. It's not like a situation where they're going to look at this and think that this week 7 game against Miami is the only thing Wilkerson's done in the last year and a half. There's lots of bad film on Wilkerson right now, so I think that it's going to be very difficult to trade Wilkerson. I just think the contract makes it virtually impossible. And look, I've been wrong on this stuff before, so it's possible I'm wrong here, but I think at the very least it's exceptionally difficult to trade this player. And the other thing you have to remember is that there's a reason you want to trade this player. Whenever I mention players like, say, Bilal Powell, I think Bilal Powell, a guy over 27 again, probably by the time the Jets are good again, he's probably not going to be a factor in this league. If somebody, and I don't know that anybody would offer, because teams pull running backs out of the thin air every year. They find running backs. They develop running backs every year. So I'm not sure you'd make a trade for a player like Bilal Powell. But people get upset. They're like, well, Powell's a good player. And that's the point. The other team wants good players. The other team wants players you actually would want. They don't want to take players who are old and unproductive, or expensive and unproductive. The reason you want to trade Wilkerson is that, you know, the reason we're talking about trading Wilkerson is that he's expensive and unproductive. So why, if I'm making the trade, you know, if I'm the other team, I'm saying, well, why do I want an expensive and unproductive player? if you don't want to trade a player, that's the type of player you might be able to trade, because another team's going to want him. I don't think a lot of teams are going to want Wilkerson at this point. Next question. Looking at his career, Josh McCown has never really handled a full season of work as a quarterback. Do you think that's why he seems to wear down in games? He starts out strong, but then his play just nosedives in the second half. I don't think that's why. I just think that McCown's not that good of a quarterback. He is a guy who, you know, he's a talented enough to be in the league, but he's not talented enough to succeed in the league. And I think I said this the other day, where, you know, there are certain players who are talented. You know, if you're in the NFL, you're probably talented enough to string one or two good games together. But the guys who are good in this league can string together 10 good games. Not everybody's good enough to string together 10 good games. And the guys who can string together one or two good games are going to fall back to earth if they aren't that good. And the same thing goes with McCown. I mean, McCown's a guy who can hit, I think any quarterback you ever watch in this league can hit some passes, can put together some good drives. I just don't think McCown's good enough to play solid games consistently. And I mean, really, there's only two games I say he played well this year. It'd be the two Miami games. And there's only one game he's played well start to finish, and that would be the first Miami game. So, you know, I don't think that he's wearing down within the game. I think he's just kind of getting exposed for the player that he is, which is a very limited player, a guy who, frankly, just is not that great. All right, well, thank you for your questions, and that'll do it for our show. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to this show. It's available on iTunes and Spotify, and please give the show a good review. While you're giving the show a review, leave your Twitter handle, and you'll have a chance to get a free Pro Football Focus subscription. Hope you enjoy your Wednesday. We will be back again on Thursday.